You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
Hello, and you are listening to The Christian Commute for Monday, August 16th. Bad news. I'm in the creaky chair. Can you hear it? I'm in the creaky chair because I'm in my basement office at my house, not in the car. I once again work from home today. In fact, I've been working from home a lot lately. Every time I want to go back to my office, somebody catches COVID, and my wife's like, I don't know if she should go back. We don't want to have the baby. We don't want the baby to have COVID, blah, blah, blah. I've had COVID. I mean, it wasn't that bad for me. Quite frankly, it wasn't that bad for anybody in my house. But I really would not want my wife to have COVID right now, caring for that newborn baby. Again, I will try to... I will try to limit the squeaks of the squeaky chair. Hey, maybe I need to get a new chair. You know what? I'm going to get a new chair. I have two desks, so I need a new chair. Also, let me apologize for the audio quality. I'm on my Bluetooth headset from work that I use on my work computer. It's a really nifty headset for work, but the sound quality is not as good as the wired headset that Jeff from West Georgia purchased for me. By the way, I found the one that he bought me. And you know when I found it? I found it as soon as I bought a new one because the other one was lost. So now I have two, and I'm not using either of them. But hey, you guys are just happy to be getting a Christian commute, right? Today's show title is Bartow and Beyond, Prayer Walking Bartow and Beyond. I live in Bartow County, and every year we have this Prayer Walk the Schools event, and I'm sure I've covered it on the show before, but I'm going to give another commentary on it. I was going to talk about Seventh-day Adventism on the next show, but I think I'll save that for later because the Prayer Walking event is fresher in my mind since it just happened Sunday. I have a question in the inbox about federal vision, and as always, we have the Bible chapter review. We are in Matthew chapter 5 still. We're going to cover verses 27 through 30. And we're talking about Jesus and the law, Jesus and the law of Moses, the rules, if you will, bringing more to them. You know, not just this basic letter of the law, but really bringing the spirit of the law into his moral teaching here. We covered being reconciled with your brother previously in verses 21 through 26. You may not remember because it was 2 weeks ago. And we're going to continue in verses 27 through 31 right here. And here's a note. Now, every time I go to BibleGateway.com, because that's what I use to make my show notes, I have to remember to go to the New American Standard Bible 1995. If you just go to the New American Standard NASB, it's the new version, and I hate it. So remember, go to the 95 version. Some things are exactly the same. You wouldn't notice a difference, but some things you're reading it and you're like, what is this? Not necessarily wrong, just different than what I remember and more gender inclusive, because I guess we're all PC and woke now. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount continues, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." Now that's from the Ten Commandments. That's in Exodus 20:14 and Deuteronomy 5:18. We know the Ten Commandments. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. You know what? I always say the Ten Commandments in King James language. Thou shalt not commit adultery. In the New American Standard, it is you shall not commit adultery. That is one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, all right, you've heard it said you shall not commit adultery. Okay, that seems pretty obvious. That's having sex with a woman who's not your wife. That's what committing adultery is. All right, got it. All right, thanks, Jesus. Nope, he continues. You have heard it said you shall not commit adultery. In other words, it's not that simple. But I say to you, he's expounding. He's not reducing the rule. He's not constraining the rule. He's saying this goes further than what you've just heard it said. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And because we're on the computer today, we can go to the Greek interlinear here and get down to this word lust. So in our English Bible here, we have everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. So when we get to the Greek here, we get pros to epithymesi. Pros, or in other words, in order to. If you wanted to read that really literally, here let me give you just a very literal interlinear translation of Matthew 5:28. I, however, say to you that everyone looking upon, because that's a participle, that everyone looking upon a woman in order to lust after her already has committed adultery with her in the heart of him. So we could almost lose that in the English, who looks at a woman with lust for her, but it's really like, in, or I'm looking at this woman for the purpose of lusting after her. Otherwise, I would not be looking at her. It's not that she's my waitress and or the person I'm buying a movie ticket from. I'm looking at her in order to lust after her. I want to have some kind of dirty thought about her in my head or whatever. This is not from the Bible. This is one of those folksy ways I've heard some preachers say it. Lust is the second look, where you see the beautiful woman and you're like, oh yeah. And then you turn your head and you go, oh, I'm going to look some more. It's that second look. Everybody, you can't help what comes in front of your eyes once, but you don't have to look again. All right. And again, that's not Jesus' definition here. I'm just saying that's a good rule of thumb to go by. And listen, Jesus is saying it doesn't matter if you physically sleep with her or not, because you're thinking about that in your heart. You want that. You have this desire. You're looking at her in order to lust after her because you want her. Now let's look at the word to lust after. Let's look at this. This is a verb here in the aorist infinitive active. It is Strong's 1937. Epithumeo, and the definition is to desire or lust after, but also it has this idea of coveting or setting your heart upon something. So we get into another one of the Ten Commandments. It's not just you shalt not commit adultery, it's thou shalt not covet. It's thou not just like don't steal, which is taking something that's not yours, thou shalt not covet. So you can covet something and never steal it. Like, oh man, my neighbor's got a really new, really nice Ford F-150. I wish I had his truck. I want that truck. I want it. And his wife is hot. I want to have sex with her. But I never have sex with her. I never steal his truck. Oh, but I coveted and I lusted. And just in case you're wondering, I am not talking about my real neighbors. I don't think any of my next door neighbors have a truck. And both of the women who live next to me are a lot older than I am. So I don't think I'll be lusting after those girls. Very nice women, though. Very nice, good neighbors. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail. I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So just like before, where Jesus said, you know, he's talking about don't commit murder, you'll be liable to the court. He's like, yeah, what if you're angry with somebody? Because murder comes out of the anger. No one ever committed adultery with a woman physically without coveting her and lusting after her in his heart first. Don't even lust after her. That's just that sin is coming from the inside. Whether you do it on the outside or not, Jesus continues in verse 29. We'll find a parallel here in Mark 9. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. And this is where we fundamentalists who take the Bible literally, take the Bible literally for what it means when someone in the Bible is speaking literally. Jesus is speaking figuratively here. He is not telling you to rip out your eye or cut off your hand. But what are you talking about, the eye and the hand? The eyes, that's what you see that woman with, and then the hands, what you reach with her, or reach to her with. And Jesus is saying, no, it's better to purge yourself of the things that make you lust for than to engage in that lust and your whole body to go into hell. But he is not advocating ripping out your eye or cutting off your hands. And it's just like, hey, which one of his disciples did that? None of them. So they knew he was speaking figuratively too. And we're going to continue on the next Christian Commute in verse 31. We're going to continue talking about Jesus' teaching on marriage. It's a sort of teaching on marriage because he's teaching about adultery, which is, you know, if I'm not married to you, I'm having sex with you, that's adultery. So that is a teaching on marriage. And we will get to that next time on the Christian Commute. We're going to talk about divorce, Lord willing, whenever that next time is. I'm actually able to record a show today because I worked diligently away at my desk today, and all of a sudden it was dinner time, and I had one more thing to do. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the basement after I put the kids to bed and after the Braves have salted the game away against the Marlins and do that one last thing. So you're welcome. Canadian coworker, I said it right. I don't know why I doubted myself. And I say, hey, I'm down here with my computer open. I'm going to record an episode of the Christian Commute. So let's move on to the inbox. If you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics, you can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com, or you can dial 470-315-0875. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Keep your question short. Let me know where you're from. This question I had a show note for. I was going to record an answer to it on my trip from Huntsville, and I got to Rome, and I said I'm not going to do any more questions. I've had a harrowing day, and then my show note disappeared. And when things disappear, I like to blame my wife. So I think my wife lost my show note. Maybe it was one of my kids. It wasn't me. I never lose my things. Except that time I lost my headset and then found it from where I put it after I bought another one. But hey, man, I got 5 cars now. So, I mean, I think it's totally reasonable for me to have 2 headsets as much as I mean, I podcast every day when I'm driving. Mm-hmm. That's called justifying your buyer's remorse. Okay, here we go. This is Lacey's question. Even though I lost my show notes, I'll answer it again. Lacey from Missouri asks, what is federal vision and is it a heresy? Federal vision is a Presbyterian problem. I'm a Baptist. I don't care. So federal vision, I do think, is aberrant. Heretical is a real loaded term. I don't know that somebody who believes in federal vision is necessarily going to hell, but it's not biblical. It's an error. You don't want it in your church. You certainly don't want your pastor to be a federal vision person. But here's the thing. The Christian Commute is a Baptist podcast, and federal vision is an aberrant Presbyterian doctrine. So all the people in the federal vision school of thought, the people who make the federal vision statements, the people who have the federal vision conferences, and I think this got popular in the early 2000s. If you had to name a guy who's like a famous federal vision guy, it would be Doug Wilson. And by the way, not a Doug Wilson fan, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. They're Presbyterians. And these are people who are not in... I mean, they're on the outskirts, if you will, of Presbyterianism. You're not going to find them teaching at RTS and being that active in the Presbyterian Church of America, I don't think. And I don't know, I think the PCA is going woke. That's another problem. I don't think it was woke in 2002 when the Federal Vision problem, and I'll call it a problem, first started. So you may hear of federal vision, Lacey, but as a Baptist, I'm not going to run into it. Because a federal vision, but if I just, because I'll try to explain it because you asked. It's the idea that there's two covenants with all of mankind, or maybe two kinds of covenants, and that one applies to everybody, and then one only applies to the elect who are saved. So Adam is our federal head of all mankind. So whether you're a Christian or not, or a member of the church or not, and when I say member of the church, you know, I got to be careful because I'm using federal vision language. Whether you're saved, how about that? Whether you're one of the elect or not, you're dead in Adam. You've inherited his sins, and Adam is your federal head. Only if you're a Christian is the second Adam, Christ, now the atoning sacrifice for you. So Christians are not in Adam, our federal head. We're in Christ, who's the second Adam. So as we're dead, so we're dead in Adam, but we're alive in Christ. But with the and this is where I guess this is why they call it federal vision. And again, I'm not an expert on this. I'm not somebody who's going to study it like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnessism or some Jehovah's Witnessism, Watchtowerism. What do you call that? Adventism. I'm not going to study that because it's really, it's not a bunch of anti-Trinitarian cult people, and it doesn't happen in my Baptist world. I deal with the Baptist problems. I got a million problems, and sprinkling a baby ain't one. All right. So who they want to sprinkle a baby? Here's where this would come up in a Presbyterian church, because Presbyterians sprinkle babies as a covenant sign. All of them do. But federal vision people, they believe in a sort of baptismal regeneration, where that baby, and we don't know whether that child is of the elect or not, but he's going to spend some years in the church believing, and he may fall away. And we don't know who's going to fall away or not, and some people are a part of this first covenant, and some people are of the second covenant, but all these people are in the church, so we have to minister to them. So, in a federal vision church, they would give communion to children, even though the children have never made a profession of faith, and they're given communion to the children because they're a part of this covenant. It's almost like there's two different types of elect people. There's the elect who are part of the visible church, and then there's the elect who are individually saved. I think there's some crossover with the new perspective there. They're almost all post-millennial, and they have this, you know, the post-millennial belief that before Jesus comes back, the world, or at least most of it, is going to be converted to Christianity. That's why you see the Doug Wilsons of the world. The Doug Wilsons of the world. Who else is a Doug Wilson? Yeah, he's got his cross politics show, and they seem to be very involved in government and politics and school and education. That's because they're dominionists. So they're dominionists, and they want to take dominion for Christ. And, you know, that's where theonomy comes in. And the federal vision people are post, not all of them, they're post-millennial, and some of them are theonomy. Listen, I would just stay away from it. And I'll go back to Doug Wilson. Doug Wilson is very erudite. People appreciate Doug Wilson because he's a great writer, and because he says what he thinks. He doesn't mince words. He's very good at identifying sociological or government problems, political problems, and to some degree he's good at identifying church problems. But we need to really know who Doug Wilson is, as that's this guy who's trying to take post-millennial dominion, and he's sitting there with his vest and his bourbon and his cigar being real cool while he does it. I think federal vision is an aberrant form of Presbyterianism, and it's an aberrant form of Christianity. Again, I don't want to go too deeply into it because I want to be fair to it. But, you know, they have their own beliefs about, or they have their nuanced, if you will, beliefs about biblical typology and imputation. And not being a deep expert in it, I don't want to comment. But I can tell you this, in Presbyterian world, the Presbyterian Church of America concluded that federal vision teachings, this is in Wikipedia, I'm just reading you the Wikipedia, because that's what you come to this podcast to get expert theological opinion from a seminary theologian who's reading you Wikipedia. That the Presbyterian Church in America appointed a study committee to examine the issue, and the committee produced a report which is to be given due and serious consideration by the church and its courts, concluding that the teachings of federal vision on election, justification, and other doctrines are contrary to the Westminster standards, the PCA's doctrinal standards. So the PCA says that federal vision is against the Westminster Confession of Faith, basically. But again, that's a Presbyterian problem. They're a bunch of paedo-Baptist synod-having Presbyterian people. So if you're sprinkling babies and you're in a Presbyterian synod, you've already got a problem. But we should reject, how about this? We should reject federal vision theology, Lacey, unless you think you should give communion to unsaved children and baptize them. All right. But here's the thing. This is why it's very important to understand who the elect are and understand the difference between corporate election and individual election. Because the better you understand these things and have a biblical idea of them, the easier it is for you to navigate these ideas like federal vision. And here's the thing, and this is just a general wisdom. Usually you don't even have to look at some kind of novel doctrine to know it's wrong if it's novel. So if a bunch of Presbyterians are sitting around in 2002 having a conference on some new thought about justification and communion and baptism and election and covenant, etc., etc., we can basically just conclude that they're wrong. Because if that's how it was, if that was right, they probably would have figured it out 400 years ago or 300 years ago. The Westminster Confession of Faith has been around for like 300 or 400 years. Like, oh, you guys are just now figuring this out. No, you guys are probably aberrant, and if there were no pastors, I'm convinced if there were no pastors' conferences, there would be less aberrant doctrine because people have to have a new idea to write a book or go to a conference. I'm convinced. It's the economy. Or it would be people come to these conclusions on their own and they, you know, just talk about them with their friends at the bar and they never create movements. Why are they at the bar, Seth? They're preachers. Oh, they're Presbyterian preachers. They're out there drinking. They're drinking that bourbon, smoking those cigars. All right, Lacey, thank you for writing in. If I seem distracted, it's because I am. There was a really, like, gross bug, like one of these bugs with a bunch of legs and stuff, and it was on my wall a few nights ago. So I took my sandal and I killed it. And my sandal was muddy from feeding the dogs. And now, at the top of my wall, there's a muddy footprint. So I just had to wipe that off because that's how I am. So here comes the squeak. And along with the chair squeak, let's transition to today's show topic, Prayer Walking Bartow and Beyond. Prayer Walking Bartow and Beyond. Oh, and you know what? Look at this. Amy Spreeman. This is providential. I posted on Facebook on Sunday. I said, find me prayer walking in Scripture. And just a minute ago on my Facebook, Amy Spreeman from Pirate Christian Radio, that whole, the Chris Roseborough's outfit, says, nothing wrong with walking and praying, ... but the NAR prayer walkers are taking down barriers and taking over realms guarded by territorial spirits or something. Good point, Amy. So let me tell you why I'm talking about this, why this is coming up again, because I've talked about prayer walking before. Every year, around this time, either right before the beginning of school or right after the beginning of school, the Bartow Baptist Association sends out an email and says, we're going to be prayer walking the schools. And the county missionary, his name is David, he arranges site coordinators for every school in Bartow County. So we got the city schools. In the city, we have Cartersville Primary, Cartersville Elementary, Cartersville Middle, Cartersville High. So those are my kids' schools. We also have the county schools, the Bartow County schools, the various elementary, middle, and high schools in Bartow County. I think we have three high schools that our city football team drubs in football continually. And for those of you who saw my sign at the Cass High School Stadium, which I don't think is up yet, but if you're listening to this because you saw it on the scoreboard, I didn't advertise at Cartersville Stadium for you wonderful kids and football watchers to learn the scriptures and hear about Christian stuff on this show. I tried to, but they would not get back to me. So I said, forget them. I'm going to advertise with Cass. So Cass Colonels, you get the advertisement, and I hope Cartersville beats you. Thanks for listening, Cass Colonels. But we got the county schools there, elementary and middle. So they all have somebody sitting out front. And if they're nice, they have bottled water for you. So thank you to Pine Grove Baptist Church site coordinators for having a cooler full of ice-cold bottled water when I went to your prayer walking event. And y'all are thinking, Seth, you didn't go prayer walking. But hold on. I'm getting there. Thank you for that. That was at Cartersville Elementary School. And the site coordinators give you a piece of paper. Can you hear it? I've got the piece of paper in my hand. They have prayer targets. And they give you literally a target like you would have on a gun, on a scope. Like if you're looking through a scope and you're target shooting that has the circles and the cross and the bullseye. They give you for your prayer targeting. Did you know that the Greek word for mark, like mark and avoid false teachers, is scopeo? And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we got the English word scope, where we mark our targets from that? But it's not. That's not the etymology at all. But it'd be cool if it was, but it's not. So they give you a target on a piece of paper. And then they give you an example of how you're supposed to fill it out. So you write the school name in the middle of the target. And then you write the issues in the little circles, and this is your prayer targeting. My prayers need to target. Otherwise, they're just disorganized, right? How am I ever going to achieve anything in my prayer life without targeting it? And here's the thing, and I don't know if this is done in your county or anything, but the schools are assigned to church. Like I said, the church just sends site coordinators. And they're not necessarily Baptist churches. Like, some of them could be the Pentecostal church. I went one year, and it was at Cartersville Primary. And the site coordinator was the pastor of the Assemblies of God Church. And it was just it was close by a church. You know, we're talking about proximity here. And I remember talking to him, and he's like, oh, Kenneth Copeland, you know, don't say anything bad about him. I'm like, he's a demon-possessed prosperity pimp heretic, pronouncing the billion flow, and like, you're afraid to say something about him. Because that's how Pentecostals are. God forbid they blaspheme the Holy Spirit by saying somebody rope-a-doping and rolling all over the floor is pretending or demon-possessed because, oh, the Holy Spirit could be making them bark like a dog and roll around. So I'm a little soured on the whole ordeal because of all the partnership with Pentecostals. The ecumenical partnership. And listen, I don't think they're partnering the mainline church. I don't even know if the mainline church believes in prayer. You know, maybe they still believe in God. I don't know. I know they pray for more LGBTQ equality, for all I know. That they walk from the schools, please help our schools have mentors who can be safe places for males who want to wear nail polish and skirts to school. I mean, I don't know. I'm going on a rabbit trail. That's a Scott Morgan rabbit trail. A shout out to you, Scott Morgan. All right. So that's what they do. And it frustrates me that they partner with the Pentecostals. I think Pentecostals are just nuts. I don't know what else to say. Like, people are like, oh, yeah. You know, they're just like us. They have the same beliefs we do. Like, stop it. Just stop partnering with the Pentecostals. I'm going to read my statement that I made. Pentecostals, i.e. Church of God people, believe all kind of unbiblical and extra-biblical nonsense about binding, declaring, decreeing, seven mountain dominion mandates, etc. When we Baptists partner with them in quote-unquote prayer walking exercise, we aren't really ministering to them or with them. We're encouraging them in their superstition. But you say, Seth, there's nothing wrong with walking around and praying. Okay, is there anything wrong with going to a bar and having a beer? And Brother William saying, yes. Now, is there anything wrong with setting up a time with your alcoholic friend to go to a bar and have a beer? You get my point? Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a bar and having a beer. I'm not going to do it because I'm not some drinking Presbyterian. But if I was the kind of person who's going to go watch a ball game at a bar and have one or two beers, I'm not going to set up, hey, let me take my alcoholic friend with me. That would be stupid because I'd be encouraging them in their bad decision. I can handle one thing. They can't. I can handle spirituality. Pentecostals can't. They don't understand it. They make a mockery of it, almost. It's like a joke. So this is what I said to my Bartow County people. In Bartow County, each school has a site coordinator, and some of them are Pentecostals. Go find one and really learn about what they believe. You might not want to be partnered up with them. And that's what I'd say to you if in your individual town, your local church or local Baptist churches are partnering with Pentecostals. Really talk about what they believe. Just really talk about it. So that's what's going on here in my town. And I go every year. I never prayer walk the school. I go, I find the site coordinator, I find the people who actually show up. And a lot of people don't show up. Only who I call the turbos do. The people who go somewhere because church told them to go. They don't think about it. You know what I do? I go find them and I give them my cooperative program book. Or I give them my Beth Moore book. Because those people are super active in church. And they need to know what I know about the cooperative program and Beth Moore. I use this opportunity purely to pass my books out to people. And I don't even go up and say, like, prayer walking is silly. Stop doing it. So, but what is prayer walking? Because I'm not talking about walking around while praying. I'm talking about a created spiritual discipline called prayer walking, where you intentionally go to a place and walk around and pray for the Spirit to lead you about what you need to pray about there. And there's a belief among some that your proximity somehow empowers or targets your prayer. So should I pray for our local county schools and the kids in their schools as they start their school year? Absolutely. Can I do that from my little dusty basement down here? Yes. So I pray about stuff from my house. I don't have to be close. And what I said the other day, you read in the Bible, it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, I don't have to buy a plane ticket and fly to Jerusalem and walk around the streets of Jerusalem and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I can do it here. So whatever you're praying about, you don't have to be next to it. But when you get into the NAR circles, New Apostolic Reformation type circles, they believe that there's territorial spirits there. Like there's a spirit of Cartersville Elementary School, like an evil demonic spirit. And there's a dominion or principality of the Cartersville schools. I'm not joking. And Christians have to take over that mountain, that cultural mountain. And what we do is we go there and we bind and pray against that spirit. Now here's the thing, 9 out of 10, maybe 99 out of 100 people, if 100 people even went, who did that prayer walk event in Bartow County the other day, believe that or think about that. But exactly, people don't think. Well, I'm going to go around prayer walking like it's a thing. It's not. Now, if you're walking around, should you be intentionally praying? Yeah, but here's the thing. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You should always be praying about things. If God's laying something on your heart, to you, I don't like to use that phrase, but that's fine. You know, when I was in seminary, I don't know if I've ever said this on the show before, I had an assignment to go prayer walking. And I was like, You make me walk around and do a prayer walking assignment. I mean, it's probably good exercise, but this is a little superstitious. And I said, you know what I'm going to do to fulfill the assignment at lunchtime or every couple hours? I'm going to go out in the plant, walk around the Tufters and pray. I'm going to pray for the people, whoever I see. But as the plant controller at that plant, walking around the carpet mill was part of my job. And like watching, like, I would go up to a machine and look at somebody and I'm wearing slacks. And they're like, who is this guy from the front office wearing slacks and a polo? I'm going to work faster. Sometimes, you know, that's what I do. Or I'd be like, why are there four crew members on this machine instead of three? Aren't we supposed to have three on this one? What's going on? This is why I'm... Does that yarn belong here? Are you using the right yarn? How much of that yarn are you using? And what's really good is when they talk to me, because I don't know. Like, hey, Seth, do you ever think about this? Or, hey, Seth, did we budget for this? Or, hey, Seth, this isn't right. And they're like, oh, you guys who actually run the machines, you guys know what's going out here. You can tell me and the rest of the managers what we need to do, because we don't have our hands on it. So it's very beneficial for somebody in my position to go walk around out there. So I'm doing it anyway. So, well, all right, I'm going to pray for him while I do it. I should always be praying. In whatever I'm doing, like take time. Like if I'm just walking around my neighborhood, walking my dog, I can see something. I'm going to pray about that. Yeah, I need to pray for this person. Oh, I'm walking by this person's house. Oh, I remember they're sick. I need to pray for them to get better. Or, you know, I'm thinking about it. I need to bring them a Domino's card so they can order pizza. So, listen, I ain't making anybody dinner. I'm going to be like, here's a $25 Domino's card. You can order your pizza. You know, a long time ago, you know, when people get sick, if somebody's pregnant, somebody dies, somebody gets sick in Sunday school, you got to make them food and take it. Man, forget that. I'm going to send them Uber Eats. Here you go. It's a lot easier to be charitable to people now. But if that's what prayer walking is, that's fine, but it's not. Prayer walking is like I'm going to a place and the Holy Spirit's prompting me what I need to pray about in this place. And before I became skeptical of it, when I was just like, oh yeah, whatever the church is doing, I'm going to do, I went with my pastor, Tim Samples, at Expedition Church. We went and prayer walked a neighborhood near the church. And I remember that was kind of a different experience, because the neighborhood, I would never go to that neighborhood. It's not, when you pull into my neighborhood, there's this big long street, and, you know, there's a big sign that has the name of the neighborhood, and then there's the pool and the tennis court. It's just like, It's this neighborhood's on the other side of the town. They don't have a pool and tennis courts. This neighborhood's the kind of neighborhood that has an electric blue house, like a house that's colored electric blue. It would not happen in my neighborhood because we have an ACC. So I'd go to that neighborhood and, like, dear Lord, raise up an architectural control committee so people can't have electric blue houses. But it's not a neighborhood I would frequent, and it was nice because me and the pastor walked around. And listen, when you're walking around, you're meeting people. And you can invite them to church. Hey, where you go to church? Hey, you need me to pray? What can I talk to you about spiritual things? So it was really good that we intentionally went out in a neighborhood close to our church. We could invite people to church or just talk to people about the Lord or evangelize them. And we wouldn't know those people unless we walked around and met them. But I don't really believe that I'm going to be walking by a house and I'm going to see the house. I'm like, oh, their grass is overgrown and the Holy Spirit's going to prompt me where I need to pray for them to get a new mower, and God's going to provide a new mower for them, and then they're going to be able to mow their lawn. And if I hadn't prayed for it, they're not going to get a mower. But that's how these proximity people think, and that's just silly. Think about the idea like this. It's like the Barfield Baptist Association tells these churches, here you need to pray for the schools. Can you not just remind us that school is starting as if we didn't know? And maybe during our service, we could all take 2 minutes or 5 minutes and corporately pray for our schools and pray for Christians to be a good influence there and for kids to get saved. Could we not do that? Why do we have to go walk them? It's just silly. It makes us look superstitious. And then they open up the schools, like the government officials open up the schools for us to go walk through there. Like we're just wasting air conditioner money. And I can just hear the county missionary, you know, well, here's your reminders. Pray with your eyes open. God may bring something to your mind as you walk. That's how he talks. I'm not making fun of him. That's just how he talks. So anyway, I got the paper here. The paper they handed out. So I'm just going to read it to you. I'm going to, we got 8 points. 8 points. Below is a list of prayer targets for prayer walking the schools August 15th. And for the coming year. And by the way, this is the same paper they use every year. They just change the date. All right, let's read them through together and let's see if these ideas seem biblical to you about what prayer is. All right, number one, for the safety of the students and faculty, for God to put His shield of protection around each of our schools and keep them safe, that the plans of the evil one against our schools and students would be exposed, nullified, and destroyed. Last. The Bible says that Satan is like a lion roaming around seeing whom he may devour. All right, I know that the Bible says that. But I just want to ask you a question. The devil himself, because there's only one devil. There's innumerable demons. There's a million of them for all I know. I don't know how many demons there are. There's one devil. Do you really think the devil is somewhere in his central headquarters in New Orleans, or wherever the devil lives? And he's like, all right, fellow demons, all right, who's in charge of Georgia? Come over here. All right, bring your people in charge of Bartow County. Now listen, I really want you to affect the safety of the students there. All right, we're going to attack them. So go there and be a powerful evil. I need you to take. Listen, hey, Wormwood, Screwtape, Wormwood, and Bobby. Here, there are three demons. All right, Screwtape. You take Cartersville Middle. Wormwood, you take Cartersville Primary. Bobby, you take the elementary school. Bobby the demon. And it's like, all right, oh no, our plans are foiled because a bunch of people from the Missionary Baptist Church came down here and prayed that the plans of the evil one will be nullified, exposed, and destroyed. So you imagine these people? Lord, I pray that you nullify, I decree and declare that you nullify the plans of the evil one against Mrs. Weimaraner's second grade class. Do you see how this started out normal? Pray for the safety of the students and the faculty. Yeah. No, the devil's out to get them. The devil is out to get them. Now listen, guys, there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of darkness. The people of darkness are in darkness and they don't know it because they're blinded by the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. And until they come into the kingdom of light, they don't even know. So, are the devil's people at a government school? Absolutely. Let's talk about a biblical idea of government. So, God has established government as an instrument of justice. That's to keep order. At a government school, government schools are not ordained in the Bible. That's not a biblically God-ordained function of government, to have a government school. And government schools, at least in the United States, are largely a creation of the last 100, 150 years. School boards and all this stuff. And I'm not against them. I went to public school. I'm glad I can read and write and do math. I was educated very well in public schools, I think. But a lot of it has to do, by the way, with parents and morality, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying, like, we're sitting here like, do we not understand that the government schools could be inherently under the kingdom of darkness? But like, we're going to nullify the devil's plans against our students. To like, I don't know, is Son of Sam going to come shoot them all? I don't know. God forbid. I mean, I don't want that to happen. I'm just like, this is so silly. For the Holy One to fill the schools with His presence. Presence, capital P, emboldened. All right. God is, here's the omnis. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, and omniscient. He's all powerful. He's all good. He's at all places. He's everywhere, and he's all knowing. But the Holy One, this is Pentecostal. The Holy One's going to, Holy One, fill it with your presence. Why wouldn't you write for God to make his presence felt in the school? That his kingdom would come and his will be done in our schools. And that's fine. That's a biblical prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the Holy One to fill with his presence. That's more that Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Fill it up like your nitrogen gas in the atmosphere. Like we have to have this filling of his presence in a geographical place. That's more dominionism. That's the language of it. Would you sit down and write that? Three, that Christian students and teachers would be a positive witness for Christ. Great, that's a great prayer. For law students, faculty, and staff to be awakened to their lostness and come to Christ. Absolutely, I love that. For students who are struggling with addictions and other destructive behavior to be set free. For the spirit of suicide, stemming from a sense of meaninglessness and hopelessness, to be broken, that students would find purpose and meaning in life through Christ.
that the families of students that are broken and fragmented would be healed through Christ. All that's great. But what sticks out to me is the spirit of suicide. What is the spirit of suicide? Is that a devil, the suicide spirit at any given school, saying, I am the suicide spirit, and I'm going to recognize that little Susie doesn't have a good relationship with her mom and dad, and I'm going to put my suicide spirit on her, and she's going to kill herself? The spirit, in Pentecostal world, there's the spirit of adultery, the spirit of covetousness, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of drug addiction. They believe they have this whole deliverance ministry of how to deliver you from these demons of specific sins. Now, when you, regular Baptist, read spirit of suicide, you just think somebody feeling down, somebody feeling that bad, somebody feeling depressed, like sad in their spirit. But there's a Pentecostal way of reading that word, and then there's a regular person or non-Pentecostal way of reading that word, and we don't need to be using their language, the spirit of suicide. I don't want to be walking around the school next to somebody, oh Lord, happa blabba hooba dooba, Roma shadoo, J Barker to a tongue of Iola, Jayla Hurts, oh, da ba da da, Jalen Waddle, speaking in their tongue, saying, I condemn and decree the spirit of, I bind the spirit of suicide. I don't want anybody to kill himself. But I can pray about that from here. And I want those people. And listen, it's good. You don't think I've prayed about, for our schools? I have. But I'm not going to go walk around to do it. No, it's the spirit of suicide. 6, that the body of Christ would find positive ways to be tangible help to teachers and administrators as a means of demonstrating the love of Christ in meaningful ways. Absolutely. Great prayer. For the Lord to bless the schools with His favor and enable each school to achieve their learning goals, that the schools would achieve positive goals of educational excellence in Bartow County, especially in this year of interrupted learning. Interrupted learning this year because we got COVID. Absolutely. Great prayer. Great, great thing we should be praying for the schools about. For there to be a spirit of mutual respect, honor, and cooperation. And here we're back into the kind of the ethos or the Baptist, a spirit of respect. Like, when we talk about people being kindred spirits, they're friends. Oh, there's a spirit of cooperation on the International Space Station between the Russians and Americans. And it's not a literal angelic spirit. See, this is for a spirit of mutual respect, honor, and cooperation between the board, the schools, and the community at large. That's great. There's a Freemason on the board, that devil. His name is Tony Ross, the demonic spirit of Freemasonry. If there's a demonic spirit of Freemasonry, along with the sneaky squid spirit, it's on the Board of Education. But see, spirit of respect, honor, and cooperation, like we get it. It's like a feeling of it. We're talking, it's not tangible, but it's there. Is that different than the spirit of suicide? And we know they're different things. Here comes the sweep. We know they're different things because when we're talking about cooperation and a spirit of respect and honor amongst people who are working together for a common task, which is to educate our young people, we get that. But a spirit of suicide, it's not like all 100 or 300 people in a school are, oh, we've got the spirit of suicide among us. No, that's on one person, one oppressed person. It's the mix of all these languages. So those are the 8 points. There's examples of praying scripture for lostness, protection, conviction of sin, fruit of the Spirit, abundant life, bold witness, and peace and harmony. And here are the reminders. Pray with eyes open. God may bring something to your mind as you walk. Good advice, don't walk around the hallway of the school with your eyes closed. Let the Spirit of God direct you. All right, but you need to let God direct you all the time through your whole life. That's just basically what being a Christian is walking in the Spirit. That's what you do every day. It doesn't mean you have to go walk in a specific place. When you're finished, you may leave. You don't have to stay there, I guess. I don't know. You don't have to stay for the whole hour. Remember to continue to use this prayer target regularly. And here's where it's silly. The next page is the target. Like, I've got to write this down and keep it by my bedside and start praying these targets. Because, listen, unless I have a strategy, my prayers aren't going to work. Read the Bible, y'all. Read the Bible. We need to pray in God's will. You are not coming up with, like, little things to pray about and filling in a target. And God is then the fulfillment. It's like, if God wants those things, He puts them in your heart and you ask them. You ask that in His name. I mean, it's silly. End of the day, I don't have a problem with people praying for our schools. I think it's great. I think it's great to have the reminder. People should
in their neighborhood, wherever they are in their communities as they're living their lives, always be praying. Guys, always be praying. Christian Commute people, pray as you're driving down the road. Pray when you're at work. Have an intentional prayer time while you're at work, with your coworkers if you can, with your family. Pray. All right? Eat, pray, love, but not in the Julia Roberts Western or Eastern Heresy way. Pray the biblical way. It's great. All right? But here's where we got to be careful. It's just like federal vision. It's like the Presbyterians are there, sitting there, frozen and chosen, handing out communion and believing in covenantal theology, and then all of a sudden the federal vision people come in here and they pervert all their words. All right? Same, like, here we are, normal praying people, and here come the Pentecostals with their Frank Peretti novels, and like, oh yeah, we got to take dominion over this area. Let me walk around with a Pentecostal. No, do you see? Don't mix in with them and get their stuff mixed in with our good prayer. That's all I'm saying. And I feel like I'm shouting to an empty room when I posted that on Facebook. One, because nobody cares. Nobody cares. I think they had 20 people at the school I went to. To hand out books. They said we had 19 people, not counting me. I mean, 19 people. I mean, there's churches everywhere around there. It's like, nobody does it. Nobody does it. So I'm like, oh, this is blah, blah, blah. And some half the things like, nobody cares, Seth. You're the only one who cares about this. Number one, nobody cares to go. And number two, like, yeah, we think it's silly too, Seth. We're not going to say anything to it. Sometimes I feel like I'm the guy, I'm like, that person's not swimming right. And they're like, yeah, I know. It's a four-year-old child. Of course they can't swim. Like, eh, just let them be. You know, it's like, Seth, you're pointing out the obvious. Like, we all get it. You don't have to say it. It's uncomfortable that you're saying it. It's like you walk in a room with somebody and there's something awkward to be like, oh, you two are, you're cheating on him, aren't you? Like, no, we all knew you were cheating on him. Now you've said it and it's awkward in the room. I'm a little wary of that. Sometimes when you're autistic, you miss it. But guys, we need to be zealous about our cooperation and our doctrine and about prayer. Prayer is how we speak to God. Remember that prayer is how we speak to God. Shouldn't we be dogmatic about it? Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute, Lord willing. I'll be back with you again someday.
As always, hey, maybe you can drive around my house and pray outside, and maybe I'll do more shows if you do that. As always, God bless, and as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.